Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecock, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. God said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That's who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him. Today I'll be speaking about God as a rewarder. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, this is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading verse 6, "But without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." Now Webster in 1828 defined rewarder as one who rewards, one that requites or recompenses. The phrase "of them that diligently seek" in Strong's is number 1567. Comes from some other words which means to search out, that is figuratively to investigate, crave, demand, even worship, inquire, seek after carefully or diligently. It is imperative to believe that God cares about day-to-day things. Those that diligently seek Him are rewarded. He can recompense any losses or damage 100-fold for those carrying out His orders and following His instructions. Diligently seeking is worshipping God in the Hebrew. Arthur Burt, who as a young man carried the bags of Smith Wigglesworth, said, "You must worship God at the throne of His power as well as the throne of His wisdom." Those seeking God investigate and study His word in between busy periods. They seek out, crave, or desire His presence. In uncomfortable times, they can even demand God's presence by worshipping Him with all their heart rather than thinking about their problems. Peter wrote in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 to 9. This is 2 Peter chapter 1, starting in verse 5. Beside this, "Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge," verse 6, "and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness," verse 7, "and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity," verse 8, "For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse 9. "But he that lacks these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." In the Message Bible, 2 Peter 1, verses 5 to 9 says, "So don't lose a minute in building on what you have been given. Complementing your basic faith with good character, spiritual understanding, alert discipline, passionate patience, reverent wonder, warm friendliness, and generous love. Each dimension fitting into and developing the others. With these qualities active and growing in your lives, no grass will grow under your feet. No day will pass without its reward as you mature in your experience of our Master Jesus. Without these qualities, you can't see what's right before you, oblivious that your old sinful life has been wiped off the books. You should have a track record in trials and difficulties with the grace of God, adding to your faith something else with God's precious promises. If not, why not? David wrote in the Psalms, chapter 34, verses 1 to 9. This is in the Psalms, chapter 34. I'm reading verse 1. A psalm of David, when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away, and he departed. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Verse 2. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Verse 3. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Verse 4. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5. They looked unto him, and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord encamps round about them that fear him and delivers them. Verse 8. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Verse 9. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no one to them that fear him. In the Message Bible, Psalm 34, verse 1 to 9, says, I bless God every chance I get. My lungs expand with his praise. I live and breathe God. If things aren't going well, hear this and be happy. Join me in spreading the news together. Let's get the word out. God met me more than halfway. He freed me from my anxious fears. Look at him. Give him your warmest smile. Never hide your feelings from him. When I was desperate, I called out and God got me out of a tight spot. God's angel sets up a circle of protection around us while we pray. Open your mouth and taste. Open your eyes and see how good God is. Blessed are you who run to him. Worship God if you want the best. Worship opens doors to all his goodness. Those who think in anxious moments are overcome with fear if they do not trust him with all their heart. David noticed when things did not go smoothly. The poor cried out and God answered them. David got a taste for God through doing things carefully, making sure God was pleased. He discovered that God was waiting on him to seek him out in every situation. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 2, I'm reading verse 1. Therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Verse 2. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. Verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? God is no respecter of persons. The New Testament promises work if you have the right priorities. There are conditions, but it's the same for everyone because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Do not seek the blessings. Those who passed on the good news and wrote the Gospels paid a high price to follow Christ. Many faced persecution after giving the good confession that Christ was crucified by the religious Jews serving two masters, were self-deceived by keeping their own traditions. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 49 and 50. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 49. And as we've borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. If you have done things in weakness like Christ, and not in your own strength, then you will be rewarded. Learn to hear his voice consistently and obey consistently. If you have listened to a wrong voice for the sake of your flesh, the corruption is still in you. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world, but those who keep confessing the same sin again and again are still corrupt. No one will inherit anything by following Jewish traditions either. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verses 26 to 29. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 26. And he that overcomes and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Verse 27. And he shall rule with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28. And I will give him the morning star. Verse 29. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. In the Message Bible, Revelation 2, 26 to 28 says, here's the reward I have for every conqueror, everyone who keeps at it, refusing to give up. You'll rule the nations. Your shepherd king rule as firm as an iron staff, their resistance fragile as clay pots. This was the gift my Father gave me. I pass it along to you, and with it the morning star. The gospel you heard was probably a half-truth that Jesus came in great power and not in weakness and did everything right just because he's God's son. At salvation, you should have been told that Jesus came in the likeness of sinful flesh the first time and did not use his divine nature to do anything. This was his key to success. The truth is, Jesus got everything he needed through obedience to the Spirit. We read in Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. This is in the book of Isaiah 55, I'm reading verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, says the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Your priority now is God's presence and his provision. When God is meeting your needs, do not relax either. Use the grace to get more grace by studying and repenting of what God has already shown you personally through conviction. Your faith in God's goodness will be rewarded. The unrighteous must forsake any ideas of serving two masters. There is no grace for this in the kingdom of God. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 4, verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Verse 12. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. Verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Stay submitted to God in complicated situations, and you will have an opportunity to hear and learn what's really important every day. Learn how to be led and controlled by the Spirit, and you will not need another lesson from God. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 33 to 35. This is Proverbs chapter 3, I'm reading verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Verse 34. Surely he scorns the scorners, but he gives grace unto the lowly. Verse 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 3, 33 to 35 says, God's curse blights the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He gives proud skeptics a cold shoulder, but if you're down on your luck, he's right there to help. Wise living gets rewarded with honor. Stupid living gets the booby prize. It is high treason and wicked to decide anything yourself, as his kingdom is here now by the Spirit. Jesus understands, but there is no excuse and only reasons why you cannot hear, trust, and obey. Reasons for wickedness can be identified and removed through deep repentance. Our righteousness comes from living by faith. Those who believe faith is just for more important matters will be left behind. Ask God the small things now, so that by faith you can grow and enjoy his provision and get to know his heart. Do not scorn someone who is asking God the small things. If you do not ask God in the small things, you will not acknowledge God in the bigger issues. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, I'm reading verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 2. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Verse 3. Through faith we understand that the whole worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which do appear. The word substance in Strong's is number 5287. It comes from a compound of two other words, meaning a setting under a support, that is, figuratively or concretely essence, or abstractly assurance, objectively or subjectively, confidence, confident person or substance. In the book Wake Up Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 1, on Who Are You, on page 19, Joseph Hedgecott writes, what we do in this life determines our eternal rewards. God gave us the opportunity to serve him every moment of every day. We need to grasp the difference between what has temporal value and what has eternal value. This understanding will change our lives. Every single thing you do in the Spirit has eternal value. The same work that is done in the good part of the carnal nature has temporal value. It will burn up. Obedience to everything God initiates will reap a reward. It has nothing to do with the act itself. If you obey God when he tells you to wash dishes, you receive an eternal reward. If he tells you to minister in a foreign land, you receive an eternal reward. Do not limit your obedience to what you think of as being spiritual. Glorify God in all you do. The question to ask is, do my actions bring glory and honor to God? Glory is credit due God, and God does not want credit for anything he does not do. He wants to manifest through you in every part of life, but no one deserves to have God manifest through them. Faith does not wear out, but grows when it's released into what is the rightly revealed word of truth. God gave mankind faith for a lifestyle that no one could ever think or imagine. Faith is present where there is a hope for reward or a spiritual inheritance. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. I'm reading 1 John chapter 2, starting in verse 14. I've written unto you, fathers, because ye have known him that is from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because ye are strong, and the word of God abides in you, and you have overcome the wicked one. Verse 15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. Faith is not prominent in a carnal believer because his priorities are wrong. He's blinded by the corruption in this world through the lust of the eyes. We do not need man's technology. The pride of life is in those with earthly wisdom serving two masters. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 to 11. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. I'm reading verse 7. Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Verse 8. For everyone that asketh receives, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. Verse 9. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Verse 10. Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Verse 11. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually, in Chapter 6 on Kingdom Living Now, on page 98, Joseph Edgecott writes, you cannot live in the kingdom of God if you do not diligently seek him. You may go to church every Sunday and attend Bible study weekly. That is not enough. You must humble yourself and draw near to him with an open heart. Then God will draw near to you. James 4:8. You may believe that if you seek God, he will take away what you consider valuable. Is what you consider valuable in the temporal realm or the eternal realm? God always chooses the greatest blessings. His rewards have far more value than you can imagine. What you can see is temporal and passing away. Humble yourself and lay hold of your eternal inheritance before time runs out. Start by letting go of what you're holding on to in this life. This will make you ask more questions too. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 7. This is in the book of Proverbs chapter 3. I'm reading verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. God gave you faith to hear, trust, and obey consistently. Not everyone is living by faith. Most are using their minds instead and have faith in what they already know. The devil does not have to come up with a better plan or strategy. He can use the ones he used previously because no one's learning spiritually. You will not understand the things of God or escape evil using your mind. Jesus was speaking in Luke chapter 9, verses 23 to 26. This is Luke chapter 9. I'm starting in verse 23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Verse 24. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake the same shall save it. Verse 25. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be a castaway? Verse 26. For whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words, of him shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he shall come in his own glory and in his Father's and of the holy angels. There are no rules following Christ, but there are conditions. You will fail to do more important spiritual tasks unless Jesus is making all the decisions in your life by the Spirit. Those seeking his permissible will deceive themselves. You can ask God if it's okay to have a cup of coffee, and he will say yes every time. But that does not mean it is God's best for you to drink coffee whenever you want. The great evangelist Charles Grandison Finney, in 1792 to 1875, said, "When the Christians stop drinking coffee, we will have revival." Serve two masters and you will be ashamed when Jesus appears. Lukewarm denominations depart from truth under a low level of pressure and keep sinning because they are unwilling to pay the price to follow Christ. If you're not denying yourself consistently and taking up your cross daily, your faith is weak, lifeless, or dead. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 to 8. I'm reading in the book of Romans chapter 8, starting in verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. Verse 8. So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. The flesh will not follow Christ, so you must deny yourself consistently. If you get left behind, don't blame the devil. You will experience life and God's peace living by faith. Now, relying on common sense and using your faith for just isolated cases is death. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 22 to 23. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that does not condemn himself in that thing which he allowed. Verse 23. He that doubts is damned if he eat, because he eats not of faith. For whatever is not of faith is sin. Your version of denying yourself and taking up your cross might be another set of rules that you break yourself later. You are like the religious leaders that killed the Christ when he came the first time. They were creating rules for others. Christ set us free from rules and from the flesh to choose a life led and controlled by the Spirit. So whom will you serve? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading verse 16. Moreover, when you fast, be not as the hypocrites, of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 17. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face. Verse 18. That thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto my Father, which is in secret. And thy Father, which sees in secret, shall reward thee openly. In the Message Bible, Matthew 6, 16 to 18 says, when you practice some appetite-denying discipline to better concentrate on God, don't make a production out of it. It might turn you into a small-time celebrity, but it won't make you a saint. If you go into training inwardly, act normal outwardly. Shampoo and comb your hair, brush your teeth, wash your face. God doesn't require attention-getting devices. He won't overlook what you are doing He'll reward you well. You don't need to give God a physical address or a bank account to deliver his rewards. What you do in secret will result in something outward. Others can see if you're wearing the crown of life, and so can God. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 and 6. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 5. And when thou prayest, that thou should not be as the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. Verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father, which is in secret, and thy Father which sees in secret shall reward thee openly. Churches displaying their services can lose their rewards. The internet is a convenient place to advertise services like other businesses, organizations, or charities. You may be congratulating your good works by others, but lose spiritual rewards as a result. Do something in secret instead, motivated out of love, and everyone will hear about it. David said in the Psalms 16, verses 8 to 11. This is in the book of Psalms, chapter 16. I'm reading verse 8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Verse 9. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh shall rest in hope. Verse 10. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine holy one to see corruption. Verse 11. Thou wilt show me the path of life, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. David's heart was glad and not sinning when Jesus was in front of him, leading the way. He could rest in hope on the good days and the bad days. Some of the most miserable people on earth are born-again Christians. They look like being baptized in lemon juice. Do not torment yourself serving two masters. Christianity is not just another religion, but a divine experience. In his right hand with peace and joy on earth, and your heavenly Father providing everything you need. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 19. This is Romans chapter 14, starting in verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Verse 19. Let us therefore follow after these things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. Jesus is ruling, so you should experience the peace of God that passes all understanding, and joy through a life of faith. Have you made Jesus Lord by consistently denying self and obeying the Holy Spirit? Nothing can separate you from experience his love except your unwillingness to follow Christ. If you cannot follow Christ and always anxious, follow after those things that make the peace of God and edify others first. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 14. This is in the book of Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 12. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down, and the feeble knees, verse 13, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed. Verse 14, follow peace with all men, and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. Paul was writing to converts excommunicated by the religious Jews and put outside the city of David. They were uncomfortable living in humble circumstances among the heathen. The new converts lost nice homes, possessions, and good jobs in the city after they confessed Christ as their Lord and Savior. They were being treated like criminals, but were in the right place when the Romans destroyed the city in AD 70. In similar circumstances, you'll become weary and weak and give up on the narrow way, remembering something you had in the past serving the flesh. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 31 to 33, this is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 31. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? Verse 32. For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that ye have need of all these things. Verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Your priorities are wrong. Not seeking righteousness in his kingdom daily above life itself in complicated situations. Eventually, your communication will stop working because now your righteousness is by faith obeying the Holy Spirit consistently. Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 7. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. The word expedient in Strong's is number 4851. It comes from some other words, including its alternate, to bear together, contribute. That is literally to collect, or figuratively to conduce, especially as a noun. An advantage, be better, for bringing together, being expedient for, be good or profitable. Jesus told his disciples it is better for them that he should go away. What is better than having a teacher like Jesus? The Holy Spirit is the best teacher for every disciple on the narrow way with the right motive and the right attitude. He is with you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. He cannot teach you anything on the broad way. You'll forget everything he said for the sake of your flesh in just a few minutes serving two masters. Peter was speaking about Jesus in Acts chapter 5, verses 31 and 32. This is in the book of Acts, chapter 5, and reading verse 31. Him hath God exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a saviour, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins. Verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so also the Holy Spirit, whom God hath given to them that obey him. He is the Prince of Peace to all those under pressure, following the Master and needing grace to repent. The disciples, with the forgiveness of sins, were getting grace and truth to change personally. All the resources of heaven are there for you to get to the root issues and obey the divine will in thought, purpose, and action daily. The power of the Holy Spirit is given without restriction for those who have repented from dead works. Jesus said to his disciples in John 16, verses 12 to 15. This is John 16, I'm reading verse 12. I've yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you the things to come. Verse 14. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. Verse 15. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. Everything the Father has belongs to Jesus now. Jesus stripped himself of his divine nature to die on the cross for sinners. Jesus was rewarded because he obeyed the Spirit of truth and did the will of God on earth, and you can do the same by grace. The Father wants to also give you all things. How can he give you something when you're still holding on to something in this world? The rewards available now are for those growing up spiritually in Christ. Rewards will not be given before you are ready and pass God's test, following Christ consistently for a period of time. If you fail at the end, just before the trial ends, you will have to start again, especially if the task includes some suffering for righteousness that no one else has the maturity to handle. Jesus said to his own disciples in John 14, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 7. This is John 14, I'm reading verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it was not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. Verse 3. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. Verse 4. And whither I go ye know, and the way you know. Verse 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not where thou goest. How can we know the way? Verse 6. Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Verse 7. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Jesus used his death to prepare a place for his own disciples. Death has now lost its sting for all those who ask God everything and get their daily instructions. Jesus was not doing his own works, but his Father's. You should have no doubts about completing the work of the Father he's given you to do through obedience to the Spirit. This is the faith of Christ. Paul wrote in Galatians 2 and verse 16. This is in the book of Galatians, chapter 2 and verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. God can make a way where there seems to be no way. You can have the faith of Christ if you follow his instructions every day. The disciples thought Jesus was using his divine power until they saw the nail-pierced hands. If Jesus had used his divine nature, we would all be lost. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in Matthew chapter 19, verses 28 to 30. This is Matthew chapter 19, I'm reading verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, Verily I say unto you, that ye which have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of his glory, ye shall also sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 29. And every one that hath forsaken houses, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, shall receive an hundredfold, and shall inherit everlasting life. Verse 30. But many that are first shall be last, and the last shall be first. If you have not yet lost anything in this life following Christ, you are not living by faith. You may even be angry with God using your faith trying to win back those things you lost in the beginning when you were following Christ. The minimum qualification for an inheritance in his kingdom and to rule with him is to lose something for following Christ. The first apostles were being groomed to rule over the 12 tribes of Israel if they remained humble. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receives the prize? So run that you may obtain. God has a great selection to choose from over many generations of the church to fill any vacancies in his kingdom. There are great rewards, but you also have to be present in the kingdom now to receive them. Jesus said in John 12 and 26, this is John's Gospel, chapter 12, I'm reading verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servants be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. In the Message Bible, John 12:26 says, if any man wants to serve me, then follow me. Then you'll be where I am, ready to serve at a moment's notice. The Father will honor and reward anyone who serves me. Those not following Christ are losing the rewards they could have now. We now have the possibility to be led and controlled by the Spirit because of what Christ has done. Thinking is dangerous. Peter was speaking about Judas Iscariot in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verses 16 and 17. This is Acts chapter 1, I'm reading verse 16. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spoke before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. Verse 17, for he was numbered with us and had obtained part of this ministry. Judas Iscariot's departure from the truth, serving two masters, left a vacancy among the disciples for Paul, who came later. The Church of Jesus Christ, using the grace of God wisely to obey the Spirit, is still first in the queue right now for any more vacancies. John wrote in 2 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. This is 2 John chapter 1, I'm reading verse 8. Look to yourselves that we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Verse 9. Whosoever transgresseth and abides not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ, he hath both the Father and the Son. In the Message Bible, 2 John 1, 8-9 says this, and be very careful around them so you don't lose out on what we've worked so diligently in together. I want you to get every reward you have coming to you. Anyone who gets so progressive in his thinking that he walks out on the teaching of Christ walks out on God. But whoever stays with the teaching, stays faithful to both the Father and the Son. Make sure that you are always asking God the small things consistently. Doctrine means teaching, but it also means learning. Learn to hear God in the small things, and you will hear God in the bigger issues. By not following Christ's example, you will never learn obedience. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. This is in the book of James, chapter 1, I'm reading verse 9. Let the brother of low degree rejoice in that he is exalted. Verse 10. But the rich in that he is made low, because as the flower of the grass he shall pass away. Verse 11. For the sun is no sooner risen with a burning heat, but withers the grass, and the flower thereof falleth, and the grace and the fashion of it perisheth. So also shall the rich man fade away in his ways. Verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. In the Message Bible, James 1, 9 to 12 says, when down and outers get a break, cheer. When the arrogant rich are brought down to size, cheer. Prosperity is as short-lived as a wild flower, so don't even count on it. you know that as soon as the sun rises, pouring down its scorching heat, the flower withers, its petals wilt, and before you know it, that beautiful face is a barren stem. Well, that's a picture of the prosperous life. At the very moment everyone is looking on in admiration, it fades away to nothing. Anyone who meets a testing challenge head on and manages to stick it out is mighty fortunate. For such persons totally in love with God, the reward is life and more life. Those who hear God in complicated situations every day are getting a head start. Don't get left behind. Those reaping the misery of sin get a break too by seeking God's perfect will. Everyone gets a chance to be part of the fun, living by faith, if they love Jesus more than they love this world. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 and reading to verse 11. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and reading verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under the heaven. Verse 2, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. Verse 3, a time to kill, and a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. Verse 4, a time to weep, and a time to laugh, a time to mourn, and a time to dance. Verse 5, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace, and a time to refrain from embracing. Verse 6, a time to get, and a time to lose, a time to keep, and a time to cast away. Verse 7, a time to rend, and a time to sow, a time to keep silence, and a time to speak. Verse 8, a time to love, and a time to hate, a time of war, and a time of peace. Verse 9, what profit hath he that worketh in wherein he labours? Verse 10, I've seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. Verse 11, he hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also he has set the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. Doing everything exactly at the time God said is true worship. Jesus is Lord by the Spirit now, and timing is important. If you are not doing exactly what he's saying with the right motive and right attitude, then you are sinning. God covers that with his grace to give you time to repent and learn obedience through faith. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus was given the highest position and will not retire or be replaced. Everyone will admit that Jesus is Lord at the end. Even the devil will confess that Jesus is the winner and did not make a mistake by submitting everything to the Father. By Christ doing exactly what the Father said at the right time, he got the victory over death, hell, and the grave. And so can you. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 17, I'm reading verse 23. This is 1 John chapter 2, starting verse 17. And the world passes away, and the lust thereof, but he that does the will of God abides forever. Verse 18, little children, it is the last time, and as you've heard, that Antichrist shall come, and even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Verse 19, they went out from us, but they were not of us. And if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us, but they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Verse 20, but ye have an unction from the Holy One, and ye know all things. Verse 21, I have not written unto you because ye know not the truth, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Verse 22, who is the liar but he that denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is the Antichrist that denies the Father and the Son. Verse 23, whosoever denies the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledges the Son hath the Father also. Those doing the will of God consistently will definitely not perish. Those who do their own will in complicated situations still have the Antichrist spirit in them now. Those who deny the Son for the sake of their flesh do not have the Father either, because Jesus was submitted to the Father. Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 10, verses 16 to verse 22. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 10. I'm reading verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. Verse 17. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils, and they will scourge you in their synagogues. Verse 18. And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake, for testimony against them and the Gentiles. Verse 19. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given you in the same hour what ye shall speak. Verse 20. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Verse 21. And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents and cause them to be put to death. Verse 22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endures to the end shall be saved. God is in control, and Jesus warned his disciples that man serving earthly gain is the problem, not the devil. If you make anyone uncomfortable today in church preaching the functional lordship of Jesus Christ, they can easily react or leave. Peter was speaking in Acts chapter 2, verses 20 to 21. This is in the book of Acts chapter 2. I'm reading verse 20. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great notable day of the Lord come. Verse 21. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation is possible at the last moment for anyone who's suffering or in pain or about to die. All those who cry out, repent of dead works, humble themselves, and confess their sins to make Jesus Lord in their hearts, receive the Holy Spirit. Jesus said in John chapter 10, verses 27 to 30. This is in John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. Lambs seek other sheep when they have a problem. God has made it possible for everyone to have their own personal relationship with Jesus. You will find his perfect will for every moment of your life by seeking God diligently with grace and truth. Your faith has to be tested with some light afflictions, but you don't have to guess at what God wants you to do. He is the transmitter and you are the receiver. The problem is never with the transmitter. if you're not hearing his voice. No one will pluck you out of his right hand if you use the gift of eternal life to do three things. Number one, hear his voice and obey instantly like a little child. Number two, abide in his presence and let him supply your needs in Christ Jesus and get to know him that way. And number three, follow him by denying self and taking up your cross daily. If the devil is able to snatch you out of his hand through the lust of the flesh, you know your problem is in one of three areas. I suggest the last one is the issue. Most want to hear and get to know God, but they want to remain in a low level of pressure. Taking up your cross daily is seeking a more challenging situation every day and hearing God under more pressure. If you do this monthly or when you have a crisis, you will not have the grace to overcome the flesh in one big step and be overcome yourself. Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 19 to verse 21. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, I'm reading verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God stands sure, having this seal, the Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Verse 20, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honour and some to dishonour. Verse 21, if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honour, sanctified and meet for the Master's use, and be prepared unto every good work. Jesus knows those who are his. He supplies what they need through the Spirit. Vessels of honour can be used by God in any area because they listen to his voice and do not mess up the work by thinking. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 to 13. This is Philippians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it's God which works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Philippians 2, 12 to 13 says, therefore, my dear ones, as you've always obeyed my suggestions, so now, not only with the enthusiasm you would show in my presence, but much more, because I'm absent, work out, cultivate, carry out to the goal, and fully complete your own salvation with reverence and awe and trembling. Self-distrust with serious caution, tenderness of conscience, watchfulness against temptation, timidly shrinking from whatever might offend God and discredit the name of Christ. Not in your own strength, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work in you, energizing and creating in you the power and desire both to will and to work for his good pleasure and satisfaction and delight. God has established a reward system for those that hear, trust, and obey. Those who live consistently in his presence are not lukewarm. You might be diligent, but this is not according to human effort. Do not seek blessings for the sake of the flesh to make your lives more comfortable, or you will never complete your salvation. There are things you did not get at salvation that you need now. You will find them by making no excuses for the flesh. He can change what you like and do not like. You will develop a taste for the right things following Christ. Those who are wise and not lazy, get his power energizing and creating the right desires in them. Be faithful in the little and you'll be faithful in the much. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. I'm reading in the book of Romans, chapter 8, starting in verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Verse 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. You have been given a free will to decide between the flesh and the Spirit. And that's all. Choose wisely. In him there is conviction and correction, but no condemnation. If you do not know the difference between conviction and condemnation, you're still a baby. Conviction is a blessing to anyone who is following a way that seems right, as they get a chance to repent. Those not walking diligently after the Spirit since salvation slip back into the world through the lust of the flesh. The law of sin and death is still here for those not abiding in Christ. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. This is in the book of Romans chapter 6 and verse 16. Know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants, ye are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 12 on practical applications, on page 182, Joseph Hedgecott writes, the belief that you're automatically in Christ simply because you're born again is a false doctrine. When you are born again, two natures are present in you, the nature of Christ and the carnal nature of the flesh. Romans 6:16 explains the nature you are in is based on who is controlling you. Church denominations that believe they are automatically righteous in Christ just because they're born again are defending lies. They've created a false teaching for those serving two masters in the church. To abide in Christ, you have to endure the pressure and not come out of the Spirit. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 to 15. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11. For other foundation can no man lay that which is already laid, which is Jesus Christ. Verse 12. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, and stubble. Verse 13. Every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. Verse 14. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. Verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. The word reward in Strong's is number 3408. It's a primary word, means pay for service, literally or figuratively, good or bad, hire, reward or wages. Be careful how you build and grow up spiritually. Jesus laid the first part himself and the apostles who died preaching the truth. By becoming a living sacrifice, you might get to know the pressure Christ went through. Everyone has the same opportunity to trust and obey with the grace of God. Jude wrote this in Jude chapter 1, verses 24 and 25. This is Jude chapter 1, verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Verse 25. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. There are great rewards, as everyone is going to rejoice with exceeding joy. All the promises work in complicated situations for those on the narrow way who have a heart after God. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 32. This is 1 Corinthians 11 and verse 32. It says, "But when we are judged, we are chastened by the Lord that we should not be condemned with the world." You will be condemned with the world if you resist chastening and correction. You need to grow. You will get the best help submitted to someone who's following Christ consistently on the narrow way. Jesus said in John chapter 5 and verse 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 5, I'm reading verse 30. "I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge. And my judgment is just because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me." If you do not seek the will of the Father consistently, you're not following Christ. Those who seek God's perfect will abide in him because anything else is unrighteous. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall." Verse 13. "There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that you may be able to bear it. If you consult your own will by thinking, 'What do I want to do?' under a little bit of pressure, remember Jesus never did this. God is faithful and never let you be tried beyond your ability to endure. Knowledge and wisdom has been increasing in these last days, and mankind has consistently made himself more comfortable. Earthly wisdom is devilish and sensual. If you consistently refuse godly wisdom, you'll be weak and easily overcome." Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 5 and 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm reading verse 5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Verse 6. "And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." The church is supposed to give light to the world by overcoming temptation. Those that listen to the imaginations of their mind depart from the faith. In this last generation, the church has lost its saltiness by listening to the imaginations of the mind of those serving two masters. John said in 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 John chapter 2. I'm starting in verse 1. "My little children, these things write I unto you, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Verse 2. "And he is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Verse 3. "And hereby we do know that we know him if we keep his commandments." The word propitiation in Strong's is number 2434. It means atonement, that is concretely an expiator or propitiation. John was writing to those living in the light. If you've come out of Christ, get back in Christ immediately by humbling yourself and confessing your sin. Sin is anything contrary to God's perfect will in thought, in purpose, or action. Keeping his personal commands under pressure proves you really know him. It might be something simple like what time to go to bed or what time to get up. Temptation is increasing everywhere to use your mind to make decisions. As this world gets faster and faster, serving a fallen world economy. We read in Deuteronomy 28 verses 1 and 2. This is Deuteronomy chapter 28, starting in verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The word hearken appears 1,158 times in the Old Testament. In verse 1, in the Hebrew, it's hearken, hearken. God created mankind with two ears and one mouth. The Jews were told blessings were going to come through listening twice as much to the voice of the Lord. They had to listen to the commandments that Moses read out to them in one day. There were no distractions from the cares of the world in the wilderness. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 14, verses 17 to 18. This is in the book of Romans chapter 14. I'm reading verse 17. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. Verse 18. For he that in these things serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. God has given you peace and joy so you can hear his voice clearly, not get distracted, and serve him in this world of sin. He's meeting all your needs by the Spirit like he did for his own people in the wilderness, so you can serve him. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 5, verses 13 and 14, For brethren, you have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty as an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. Verse 14, For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. By loving God with all your heart and loving your neighbor as yourself, you will not give an opportunity for the flesh. The greatest deficiency is the love of God in the hearts of men and women everywhere. So you'll be busy. Start loving where God has placed you in a marriage or a workplace, and your love will grow. You'll have enough for everyone if God is your supply. Many are called, but few are chosen. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. This is in the book of Romans chapter 12. I'm reading verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The fruit of those diligently listening to God in the body of Christ is that they are no longer conformed to this world. Instead, they are transformed. If you cannot prove what is the good and acceptable will of God, your mind is not renewed. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples, to the intent that we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drank and rose up to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. The message of Paul is very relevant to the situation we're in today. Jesus is coming soon, and his bride is not ready. It is easier to obey in the wilderness or in the land flowing with milk and honey. John the Baptist was trained in the wilderness. His wisdom on the narrow way came from dealing with the carnal nature in harsh conditions. What is your priority? The Amplified Bible Classic Edition, 1 Corinthians 10:5 says, Nevertheless, God was not pleased with the great majority of them, for they were overthrown and strewn down along the ground in the wilderness. What does great majority mean? Was this 70%, 80%, or 90%? We read in Numbers 14, verses 24, and reading to verse 35. This is in Numbers chapter 14, starting in verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and had followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereunto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Verse 25. Now the Amalekites and the Canaanites dwelt in the valley. Tomorrow turn you and get you into the wilderness by the way of the Red Sea. Verse 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, verse 27, How long shall I bear with this evil congregation which murmur against me? And I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Verse 28. Say unto them, As truly as I live, says the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Verse 29. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me. Verse 30. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land concerning which I swore to make you dwell therein, save Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua the son of Nun. Verse 31. But your little ones, which ye said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised. Verse 32. But as you and your carcasses, they shall fall in this wilderness. Verse 33. And your children shall wander in the wilderness 40 years, and bear your whoredoms until your carcasses be wasted in the wilderness. Verse 34. After the number of the days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year, shall you bear your iniquities. Even 40 years you shall know my breach of promise. Verse 35. I, the Lord, have said it, I will surely do it, and to all this evil congregation that I've gathered together against me in this wilderness, they shall be consumed and they shall die. His people had a holy calling to help the rest of the world and went into the wilderness to learn, apply his word, and be doers, not just hearers. Everyone saw the cloud during the day and the fire at night. The best entertainment in the wilderness was God's provision through obedience to his commands. The younger generation saw their parents fail through disobedience. Those able to fight up to the age of Moses, apart from Joshua and Caleb, all died in the wilderness. It was the sons and daughters of that generation in the wilderness that entered the promised land. They then had 40 years in the wilderness to get godly wisdom themselves. They were not exposed to any earthly wisdom. Published figures say 7 million people have died through COVID since it appeared in China in November 2019. This is less than 0.1% of the world's population, which is now over 7 billion. COVID is still here and the virus can mutate. From published figures, more than 95% of those died were in the age range of 45 and above. This is a similar age range as the Jews that perished in the wilderness. Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15. This is Hebrews chapter 12, reading verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness spring up, trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. There is grace for you now, but there is no grace to stay where you are spiritually. Faith without obedience to the Spirit is dead, meaningless, and inactive. James wrote in James chapter 3, verses 14 to verse 18. This is James chapter 3, I'm reading verse 14. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Verse 15. This wisdom descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish. Verse 16. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Those with the wrong priorities are more interested in the short-term relief in the world for the sake of their flesh. Those with earthly wisdom rebelled against Moses. Get the right kind of wisdom now by denying yourself and taking up your cross daily. If you say anything contrary to the truth, the Spirit will grieve. You may even get a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble, like Paul. After getting knowledge, you need experience from applying the rightly revealed word of truth. The narrow way will keep you humble, so you don't get puffed up with a lot of knowledge. In the Amplified Bible Classic Edition, Numbers 14:31 says, But your little ones, whom you said would be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised and rejected. The kingdom of God is here now to help with peace and joy. However, you still have to enter the kingdom of heaven by becoming like a little child. Have you despised the land that God is bringing you into? We read in John chapter 1, verses 9 to 15. This is John's Gospel chapter 1. I'm reading verse 9. That was the true light, which lighteth up every man that comes into the world. Verse 10. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Verse 14. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Verse 15. John bore witness of him and cried, saying, This was he of whom I spoke. He that comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. Since the fall, man started living in darkness by serving whatever made him comfortable through the flesh. Jesus is the only example of a properly operating human being for everyone to observe and follow. He did nothing without hearing from God. Use the grace and truth to hear, trust, and obey. Making decisions with your mind is cooperating with the devil for the sake of your flesh. John the Baptist could give a true witness of Jesus because he was trained in the wilderness to hear God first. The religious leaders did not even recognize Jesus because they were still using their minds trying to come to truth. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 14. But the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Verse 15. But he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. Verse 16. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. God has a one-room schoolhouse for all. It's called the narrow way because no one can understand his ways with their minds. If you're still using your mind to come to the truth, you have chosen ignorance for the sake of your flesh. You'll even go backwards spiritually by using your mind and waste time following a way that seems right. We read it in Proverbs chapter 5, verses 21 to 23. This is Proverbs chapter 5, I'm reading verse 21. For the ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord, and he pondered all his goings. Verse 22. His own iniquity shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. Verse 23. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly he shall go astray. In the Message Bible, Proverbs 5:21-23 says, mark well that God doesn't miss a move you make. He's aware of every step you take. The shadow of your sin will overtake you, and you'll find yourself stumbling all over yourself in the dark. Death is the reward of an undisciplined life. Your foolish decisions trap you in a dead end. God is in control of rewards now for the sake of man's blindness. Everything you see with your eyes is passing away and temporal. What you cannot see is eternal and obtained by faith in the rightly revealed word of truth. Jesus said in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5. I'm reading John's Gospel, chapter 10. Starting in verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that enters not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. Verse 2. But he that enters in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Verse 3. To him the porter opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own sheep by name, and leads them out. Verse 4. And when he puts forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5. And a stranger will they not follow, but flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Everything Jesus created is designed to respond to the sound of his voice. He is Lord. Are you Lord of your own life? If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad road that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book, The Guilty Prisoner, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've been speaking to you about rewards, and I believe that God has the best plan for your life. As you've read through these scriptures and you've heard about what is available through just listening to his voice and just doing what he said, I hope it filled your heart with excitement and joy. All those promises and all those blessings that are available come when we get excited about taking up our cross daily. We don't have to make huge steps every day. What we have to do is be like athletes going into some kind of training where we don't even know where the finish line is, but we trust and obey. And we look at better ways of hearing God and better ways of obeying God. I hope that's your desire. I hope this message has stirred in you a holy fire. Father, I pray for everyone listening to this that they will recognize that you want them to have everything. And you paid a tremendous price for them to have it all. And Father, I pray that no one here would ever turn their back on Christ. No one would ever forget what he's done and forget the price he's paid, that they will use the grace and the opportunity they've been given to hear better, hear more, and obey more. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out or via link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.